Tara, fellowship tayo. Every time na gusto natin makasama ang ating kapatiran sa Panginoon, ito ang madalas nating sabihin na imbitasyon. Tara, fellowship tayo. And mostly nasusundan na yan, tara, kape tayo. Tara, merienda tayo. Tara, hapunan tayo. Fellowship. And rightfully so, fellowship ay galing sa Greek word na koinonia, na ang ibig sabihin ay partnership. Partnership to the mutual benefit of those involved. So ang Christian fellowship, ang ibig sabihin po niyan ay isang close association or relationship with people who share an objective reality. So ano po yung objective reality na yon? Yung objective reality na yon is this, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the foundation of true Christian fellowship. Ang totoo po niyan, one cannot have true Christian fellowship with those who are not in Christ. Hindi niyo pwedeng i-invite, hindi niyo pwedeng i-call into worship those na hindi Kristiyano. We cannot have true fellowship with those who preaches a different gospel. Pwede natin sila maging kaibigan, pwede natin sila makasama sa trabaho, maaaring kapatid natin, but our hopes and prayers that they would come into the knowledge, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Pero true Christian fellowship is only to those who have repented from their sins and trusted Christ's finished work on the cross. Ngunit, ang importanteng elemento pa na dapat natin tandaan when it comes to fellowship ng mga Christian is Christ. Ito po ang gustong i-clarify ni Paul sa passage na ito. He wants to clarify with the Jerusalem apostles na kung ang gospel ba na kanilang tinuturo ay pareho ng gospel na kanyang pinipreach. Meron ba talaga silang fellowship? Meron ba talaga silang partnership? This is our third week sa ating pag-aaral sa Book of Galatians, No Other Gospel. Isinulat po ito ni Paul, itong liham na ito para sa mga churches in Galatia. These are young churches. Dahil may mga kuwad na mangangaral na nagkakalat ng mga maling mensahe o maling gospel. Kini-question nila yung otoridad ni Paul, kini-question nila yung gospel by grace through faith in Jesus Christ na theology ni Paul. And so Paul defended that there is only one gospel. Yun ang kanyang tinuturo ho sa passage na to. And that is the gospel of grace, by grace, through faith in Christ alone. And even defended himself sa ating mga napag-aralan for the sake of the gospel. Hindi para dahil siya defensive, he needs to defend his authority as an apostleship kasi nakataya po yung mensahe na kanyang tinuturo. Sa ating passage ngayong hapon na ito, Paul comes face to face with the Jerusalem apostles. At dito, magkakaalamanan na kung mayroon ba talagang pagkakaiba ang gospel na tinuturo niya sa Gentiles at yung gospel na tinuturo ng mga apostles sa mga Jews. Magkakaalamanan if they can truly fellowship with each other. I pray ngayong hapon na ito that as we study this passage na mas lumalim po ang ating pag-uunawa sa beauty ng gospel that unites all of us. At mas lumalim ang fellowship natin sa isa't isa. Because the good news of Christ produces true gospel fellowship. May tatlong puntos po tayo ngayong hapon na ito. Number one, preaching the same gospel, verses 1 to 2. Second, preserving the truth of the gospel, verses 3 to 6. At saka number 3, partnership in the gospel, verses 7 hanggang 10. Unaw sa lahat, preaching the same gospel. Tingnan niyo po yung verse 1. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me. So ano yung 14 years? That is 14 years simula po siya na convert. Okay? O nagkaroon siya ng conversion o pagligtas ni Kristo sa kanya, sa kasalanan niya on the roadway to Damascus. Kasama sa 14 years na ito, yung unang dalawa niyang biyahe papunta sa Jerusalem, unang biyahe niya sa Jerusalem, and after 3 years, kanyang conversion. So, this is yung total of 14 years na siya nakakilala sa Panginoon, nakadalaw na siya ng isang beses sa Jerusalem, and from there, ito yung pangalawang balik po niya. Pagkalipas ng ilang panahon, sa Acts chapter 11, verse 26, hinanap ni Barnabas si Paul sa Tarsus at dinala siya sa Antioch, and for a whole year, they met with the church mismo sa Antioch. So ang ginawa po nila is they shepherd the flock mismo sa church doon. Tapos ngayong for the second time, siya po ay babalik ng Jerusalem after po sa Antioch. So ang tanong po, anong dahilan kung bakit siya babalik doon? Bakit babalik si Paul sa Jerusalem? May mga katanungan kaya siya sa ebanghelyo na pinipreach niya for the past 14 years. Nagsimula na kaya siya magduda sa gospel na kanyang tinuturo? Or could it be that he is feeling the pressure sa mga Judaizers kaya he felt the need to get the Jerusalem apostles' approval? Yun ba ang dahilan kung bakit siya pupunta doon? Mahalaga po itong katanungan na ito dahil ang mga Judaizers ay nire-reconstruct ang lahat ng kaganapan sa buhay ni Paul. Bakit? Upang questionin ng mga Galatians ang kanyang apostolic authority at yung kanyang gospel na tinuturo. Kung tunay nga na confident si Paul sa gospel na pinipreach niya, then bakit kailangan niyang bumalik sa Jerusalem? Bakit malaking deal to? Kasi nandoon yung mga Jerusalem apostles. Tingnan po natin sa verse 2 kung ano yung dahilan. I went up because of a revelation. Yun ang reason. Yun ang primary reason. Ano ba ang revelation na nabanggit po dito? Well, makikita natin yan ang kasagutan sa Acts chapter 11, verse 27 to 30. You can write that down or you can flip your Bibles there. Acts chapter 11, 27 hanggang 30. Let me read it to us ngayong hapon na ito. Now, in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. Remember, nasa si Paul, si Barnabas, mismo nasa Antioch. So may prophets na dumating doon. Verse 28. And one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. Ayon sa propetang Agabus, magkakaroon daw po ng worldwide famine. Yun po yung prophecy. At nangyari nga po ito. At sa papaanong paraan, nag-respond ang mga Antioch Christians sa salita ng Diyos. How did they respond? Tignan niyo po yung verse 29 to 30. So the disciples determined everyone according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now Saul, hindi pa napapalitan yung pangalan na yan, as Paul, later on papalitan yan from Saul to Paul. Nagpa siya ang mga Kristiyano sa Antioch na magpadala ng tulong pang pinansyal sa mga kapatiran sa Judea dahil sa nga na dumarating po na nasakuna. At ginawa nila ito dahil sa paniniwala that they believe the same gospel. Tinulungan ng mga Christians sa Antioch, mga Gentile Christians, yung mga Judean Christians, kasi naniniwala kami total, pareho naman ang gospel doon. Tulungan natin, Paul, Saul, Barnabas, puntahan nyo, ipadala nyo itong pera na to para makatulong sa kanila. Kaya pinadala nila si Barnabas at Saul at sinaman din nila si Titus upang iabot itong tulong na to sa churches doon. Ito ang pangunahing dahilan kung bakit pumunta si Paul sa Jerusalem upang mag-abot ng pinansyal na tulong sa mga churches sa Judea. At since nandun na rin sila, si Saul nagpa-schedule na rin ng private meeting. Kanino? Sa mga apostles mismo sa Jerusalem. Makikita po natin yan sa verse 2. I went up because of a revelation and set before them, though privately before those who seem influential. So in short, nakipag-meeting po si Paul sa mga mama na tinawag niyang influential. Tatlong beses nabanggit itong influential na to sa passage na to, sa verse, isa beses sa verse 2, dalawang beses sa verse 6. At sa verse 9 naman, nabanggit sa atin kung sino ang mga influential na ito. Si James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, si Peter, at saka si John. Paul probably used this term hindi para sabihin na kasi kilala silang influence, mga influential ito mga to sa Christian world on time. Hindi po. Ginamit niya yung term na ito for the purpose of sarcasm. Bakit kamo? Kasi maaaring ang mga grupo ng mga Judaizers noong time na yon ang nagbigay ng mga katagang ito sa Jerusalem Apostles.
Bakit nila ginawa yun? O, kasi ayan yung mga elite, ayan ang mga big time na apostles. Hindi kagaya ng mga nasa gentle-gentile lang. Yan ang mga apostles. So, tinawag silang influential na mga Judaizers. Bakit nila tinawag na influential itong mga to? Maybe because they perceive that they are someone who is special. Special mga yan kasi mga Judean, mga apostles. O maaaring mga sumisip-sip lang siguro sila at nagpapalakas sa mga Jerusalem apostles so that they would be known and associated yung kanilang ministry sa mga apostles na ito. O para magkaroon po ng approval sa kanilang doctrine na tinuturo na kailangan may circumcision, hindi bukod kay Christ. So nagpapalakas. So tinatawag nila ngayon, mga influential yan. Barkada namin yan. So Paul here uses the term in o nga pala sa mga influential. So nakita niyo yung tone ng sarcasm dito. So, nagpatawag ng private meeting si Paul sa tatlong mamang ito, yung Jerusalem Apostles. At ano ang agenda ng napag-usapan? Well, tingnan natin yung agenda ng meeting sa verse 2 ulit. The gospel that I proclaim among the Gentiles in order to make sure I was not running or had not run in vain. So, ang tanong, ano ang agenda ng meeting? Ang agenda po ng meeting, the gospel. Yun po ang agenda. It is about the gospel that Paul preached to the Gentiles. Teka muna, Pastor. Kung bibilisan natin yung basa sa verse 2, parang ang dating ata nagdududa na si Paul sa kanyang pinipreach ng gospel. Tignan mo, you know, in order to make sure I was not running or had not ruined in vain. Parang nagdududa na ata si Paul sa tinuturo niya. After 14 years, hindi kaya nagdududa na siya. It seems like a confession of uncertainty. Parang hindi ata siya sigurado sa gospel niya. You could have imagined ang mga Judaizers na nakakarinig neto. Na sinasabi sa mga Galatians, sa mga nakarinig, sinasabi ko na nga ba sa inyo eh. Hindi siya sigurado sa kanyang gospel of grace. Hindi siya sigurado na sa tinuturo niya. In fact, hindi niya alam ang tinuturo niya. Gawa-gawa lang niya siguro yung gospel of grace. At tingnan mo, pumunta siya sa mga Jerusalem apostles para i-confirm kung totoo nga. Sipin mo kung narinig ng mga Judaizers. So of course, walang klaseng conversation na naganap na ganoon. Pero kung babasahin kasi natin yung verse 2, parang ganoon yung dating eh. Parang pa-check nga kung tama ako. Parang ganoon ba? Punta ka sa teacher mo, pa-check mo kung tama yung ginawa mo. Hindi. Yung kaya ang kalagayan ni Paul, tama ba ang gospel na tinuturo ko for 14 years? Kasi galing lang naman kay Jesus to eh. So ganoon ba ang nangyayari ho dito? Hindi po. Hindi po ito ang sinasabi ni Paul sa verse na ito. Paul presented the gospel, the very gospel that he preached sa mga Gentiles to the Jerusalem apostles, not to receive affirmation, not to receive validation sa kanila. Never. Nor does he sought their approval of its truth at saka accuracy. So anong dahilan? But to ensure, to check if there was unity among them. Do we have unity? Ito yung gospel na pinipreach ko. Kasi po, if Jerusalem apostles were preaching a Christ plus circumcision gospel, then his labor among the Gentiles was in vain. Yun yung sinabi niya sa verse na yon. And he would probably, definitely oppose their gospel as we will see next week. Kung sinabi ng mga Jerusalem apostles, oo, naniniwala talaga kami na kailangan mo si Christ, pero kailangan mo mag-circumcise. Kung si Paul yun, magpapantigantenga nun at sinasabing mali, yun ang gagawin ni Paul. So this is what? To ensure kung meron ba talaga tayong fellowship because we believe in a same gospel. Hindi sila tinagpo ni Paul dahil nagdududa siya sa gospel of grace na pinipreach niya. No. But because he was deeply concerned for the unity of the gospel. Nagkakaroon ng issue sa Galatia eh, sa unity. Dahil sa pagturo ng mga maling gospel ng mga Judaizers. Tinatayo muli ng mga Judaizers ito yung dividing wall of hostility na winasak na ni Kristo sa Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14. They were spreading a false gospel sa Galatians na kinakailangan daw nilang magpa-circumcise para maligtas kasi kung hindi daw ang gospel na yon ang tinuturo ni Paul, then hindi siya naka-align sa gospel ng mga apostles. Yun yung kumakalat doon. That's why there was confusion. There was a growing division sa fellowship or unity among the Galatian churches. Sino ba tama? Si Paul o yun yung mga Jerusalem apostles? Kasi nasabi ng Judaizers eh.
Ang mga Judaizers na ito ay hindi lamang nagtuturo ng false gospel, but are also endangering the fellowship that Christ has united between Jews and Gentiles. That's what's happening here. That's the issue here. Na kung saan, because of Christ, nawala na yung hatian, wala ng partiality, wala ng Jew, wala ng Gentile, iisa na sila because of Christ. And yung ginagawa ng mga Judaizers, kailangan mo magpa-circumcise, boom, may pader na naman. Hindi ka pa-circumcise, hindi ka pa-legit. Tsaka na, pag naka-circumcise ka na. Yung po yung nangyayari ito, nakakaroon ng division sa loob ng church. Listen, friends, false gospel disrupts true gospel fellowship. False gospel disrupts true gospel fellowship. Or if I can say it this way, false teaching disrupts true gospel unity. Kung hindi ang ebanghelyo ni Kristo ang sentro o itinuturo sa iglesia, the church's unity or fellowship will be misplaced and eventually be divided. The church's unity or fellowship will be based on natural commonalities. Kung hindi nakabase kay Kristo, nakabase yan sa mga bagay na kung saan tayo familiar. Yun ang basihan ng fellowship natin. Yun ang basihan ng ating unity. Dito po sa Crossroads, bagamat ang congregation natin ay iisa ang lahi, we are very, very diverse. Marami pong pagkakaiba ho sa bawat isa sa atin. We are composed of members who came from different regions sa Pilipinas, have different subcultures, speak different dialects. May mga kaibigan tayong Bisaya, Ilonggo, Ilocano, Pangasinanse, yun yung mga lingwahe na sinasabi, na kinasalita nila. May mga Tagalog, Kapampangan, may mga third culture young people, single young professionals, young parents in the mid or late 50s. Amen? So what is my point? Anong punto mo rito, Pastor? We all have a natural tendency to gravitate sa mga tao who are just like us. That is our fallen default, unfortunately. We are naturally magnetized towards each other, to each other's age group, to each other's season in life, to each other's interests, to each other's profession. Yan ang ating nature. If the gospel is not central sa preaching, if the gospel is not central sa teaching, at sa life ng church, then our fellowship and unity sa church na ito will be based on natural commonalities instead of gospel commonality. Now, hindi naman mali magkaroon ng relationship based on natural commonalities. God can use that. Ang problema lang po dito is this. Hindi siya supernatural. In short, pwede tayo magkaroon ng natural relationships kahit wala ang Panginoon. Nangyayari na yan sa opisina mo, nangyayari na yan sa eskwalahan mo, nangyayari na po yan sa kapitbahay mo. You can be very best buddies and share the same common interests. Pwede ho yan, mag-flourish kayo dyan, pero hindi mo na kailangan ng Panginoon doon. So, what we want is a fellowship and unity that is based on a supernatural commonality, a gospel commonality. Let me ask you a question, friends. How would you describe your fellowship among your group dito sa Crossroads? Is it a fellowship based on natural similarities? Or is it a supernatural one? Ang reason ba kung bakit kayo magkakasama kasi marami kayo in common? Or is it because there is nothing in common except the gospel and you're engaging that brother or sister? Yan ang reason po kung bakit we pursue intentional meals na tinatawag. We try to be intentional in inviting people over dinner, over merienda, over coffee. Someone na hindi katulad natin. And I've seen this happen in this congregation. Single people inviting married couple na kung saan to go out at sa merienda and ask intentional questions. Young people starting to help yung mga adults. And I've seen that lines cross. If ang lagi mong kasama are people na kapareho mo, then what's supernatural about that? That's why, friends, yung singleness seminar natin is not specifically lang for singles. It is for this congregation. If we are to learn something, we want to learn it together. If the singles are going to learn from this, then the adults, the married couple, the youth should learn this so that we could help each other. So we can, what? Be intentional and serve one another well. Hindi lang, para sa mga single. Para sa may anak lang yan. Hindi po eh. This is a congregation. Now, united by the gospel, we want to learn this together. So I encourage you starting February of next month. Be part of that. Pero pastor, parang wala naman ako common. Intentional, sige, na-get ko na yun. Pero wala naman kaming pagkaparehas eh. There's nothing, walang common ground. Paano ako makikipag-usap sa kanya? Walang common ground. Let me ask you this. Will we let differences become a barrier to fellowship or an invitation to engage in fellowship that will adorn the gospel of Christ? So Paul didn't meet with them dahil ay nagdududa po siya sa kanyang gospel preaching. Ang concern niya ay ang unity ng church kasi sa ang mga Judaizers ang nagkakalat ng kasinungalingan na kailangan daw muna ng mga Gentiles. Yes, kailangan mo si Jesus, pero kailangan mo na magpa-circumcise para mapatawad ang iyong kasalanan. Na wala namang binigay na requirement ang mga Jerusalem apostles. Wala silang binigay na ganong requirement, which is makikita natin sa point number 2. Preserving the true gospel. Verses 3 to 6. Yet because of false brothers secretly brought in who slip in to spy out our freedom that we have in Christ Jesus so that they might bring us into slavery. Pansinin niyo kung paano nilarawan ni Paul ang mga Judaizers. Anong tawag niya sa Judaizers? False brothers or false sisters or fake Christians. Medyo mas malinaw ata yun, ano? Ang tawag niya sa Judaizers ay fake Christians. Listen, kapag nagdagdag tayo ng kahit anong requirement sa gospel ni Jesus Christ, kahit yung dinagdag mo pa ay galing sa Bible, ang tawag po sa atin ay fake Christians. Oh, pastor, tinanggap ko si Kristo. Hindi lang yan. May ginawa rin ako mga bagay sa church. Kaya ligtas na ako. Then ang tawag sa iyo, fake Christian. Kasi fake yung gospel na iyong tinanggap at pinaniwalaan. As a side application, you cannot call someone a brother or sister in Christ if they do not believe in the finished work of Christ alone, the cross. Neither can you have fellowship with them or have genuine fellowship with them. Bakit? Because of one essential element, Christ. And if I may, you may only date those who are in the Lord. If you are a Christian man, you can only manligaw sa Christian woman. Sasagot lamang, mga kababayan, sa Christian man. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 39. Sabi dyan, marry all only in the Lord. That's pretty clear. 1 Corinthians 7, 39. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. And so on. Why? Because there's no true fellowship kapag hindi yung Christian. Now, bakit parang big deal yung circumcision o yung tinatawag sa Tagalog na tuli sa mga Jews? Bakit masyado malaki itong issue na to sa kanila? Ano bang circumcision sa isang Jew? Ang circumcision o pagtuli is the surgical cutting of the foreskin of the male reproductive organ. Sa Genesis chapter 17, ang circumcision ay required sa lahat ng mga descendants ni Abraham bilang isang palatandaan of the covenant that God made with Abraham at lahat ng mga lalabas sa kanyang physical descendants. That is the mark. Kung hindi ka Jew at gusto mo maging part ng covenant community ng Panginoon at ma-enjoy ang kanyang blessings, ang kanyang presence, ang kanyang protection, kinakailangan mong magpatuli. Kailangan mong bilang senyales ng pagpapasakop at pagsunod sa salita ng Diyos. Ang mga hindi nagpatuli ay cut off from God's people if you are a Jew. Ganun ho kalaki yon. It is a sign. Big deal sa kanila yon. That's the way the Jews sa time ni Paul took circumcision seriously. Kasi po, ito ang naging identity marker ng mga Israelites. Ito ang dahilan kung bakit madaling natanggap ng Jews si Jesus Christ as the Jewish Messiah. Ah, syempre, Jew eh. Ngunit mayroon isang mahalagang bagay that the Jews failed to understand patungkol po sa circumcision. At ano po yun, Pastor? Kasi ang layunin ng circumcision sa lumang tipan or Old Testament ay hindi lamang isang physical na aksyon na dapat nila gampanan. Tingnan po natin sa Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. Ano siya sabi nito? In short, ito'y isang simbolo ng internal na cleansing. It is a symbol of internal cleansing and circumcision. Kaya ang mga propeta ng mga Israel would regularly remind the Jews that physical circumcision ay hindi sapat. Physical circumcision is not sufficient for them to be saved. Paulit-ulit yan as per Deuteronomy 30 verse 6. What was ultimately needed is faith in the promises of God tied to a circumcised heart. The physical circumcision pointed to the spiritual circumcision of the heart. That's what's happening here. Okay? Na yung physical, yung spiritual circumcision of the heart that was purchased for us when Jesus Christ died on that cross. You see, obeying God with all our hearts o ang pagsunod natin sa Panginoon ng buong puso ay imposible nating gawin. Hindi natin lahat kayang gawin yan. Because our hearts are sinful, and it only obeys its sinful cravings. Pansinin mo kapag hindi nabigay ang gusto mo, galit na galit ka. Kapag hindi nasunod ang gusto mong masunod, nagwawala ka. Magpagbibigyan mo ang isang tao, isang bagay, basta makuha mo ang gusto mo. Lagi. Why? Because we always have a tendency to go after our sinful desires. We never really wanted God. In fact, we hate God. We love our sin. In order to obey God, so paano yung obey na obey God with all their hearts? Paano po yun? In order to obey God with all our hearts, there should be a cutting away of our sinful nature. Yun po ang kailangan mangyari, a cutting away of sinful nature. Paano po mangyayari yun? Jesus ang pinakahihintay na binhi ni Abraham. It's Jesus Christ, yung descendant na iniintay ng mga Jews. Kaya ang punto ng circumcision ay hindi circumcision. The point of circumcision is not physical circumcision. Ito ay isang pointer. It is a pointer. It pointed to the reality na tinupad na ni Christ ang lahat ng requirements ng law. And became the ultimate sacrifice for our sins on the cross. Isang bagay na hindi natin kayang gawin. Tuparin lahat ng law at mamatay para sa kasalanan ng karamihan. Si Jesus Christ, tinupad na lahat yon for you. Para sa rebelde mong puso. Para may kapatawaran ka. Para ma-reconcile ka. Para ma-circumcise ang iyong puso. At sa akin. The death he died to sin. Once for all, at muling binuhay ng Diyos Ama upang tayo'y mapawalang sala. Mga kaibigan, if you're here today and if you've been running away, pushing away the gospel of Jesus Christ, I urge you, repent from your sins. Talikuran mo na yan laman na kagustuhan mo. Talikuran mo. At takbuhan mo, dalawang talikuran at takbuhan mo ang Panginoon para sa iyong kapatawaran. Trust yung ginawa niya sa cross is sufficient para bayaran ang kasalanan mo. Repent and believe. talikuran ng kasalanan at ilagay ang iyong pananampalataya kay Kristo at ginawa niya sa krus para sa ating kaligtasan. Ito ang gospel na kinakalaban ng mga Judaizers. Galit na galit sila sa gospel na yon. At patuloy na dinedepensa ni Paul, ni Barnabas at ni Titus. The Judaizers were making a hard sell sa kanilang gospel. Hindi, kailangan mong gawin yan. In fact, wala naman sila dapat sa meeting. Sumingit lang sila, parang mga spy na sumingit. Hindi, kailangan, may ganon. Kaya pinasok ni Paul dito yung issue ng circumcision. Dahil may mga pumasok na Judaizers. Kaya niya pinasok yung conversation na yon. Hard sell sila. Pero bumigay ba si Paul? Bumigay ba siya? Hindi, tignan yung verse 5. Tingnan natin kung bumigay. To them, we did not yield in submission even for a moment. Kapag-debate eh. So that the truth of the gospel might be preserved. They fought for the preservation and the purity of the gospel sa church. Friends, if Paul has fought to preserve the gospel, we too sa Crossroads must fight to preserve the gospel. Yun din ang dapat natin gawin. Now, hindi ko po sinasabi na maghanap tayo ng dedebatihin dyan sa labas. Ayan, sinabi ni Pastor eh. Ano pa niniwala mo? Hindi naman tayo magsusugod na lang kung sino-sino. Ah, tama, maganda yung napulot ko. Ano? Babalikan ko yung barkada ko at titingnan natin kung sino mananalo sa debate. Pastor, bigyan mo akong Bible verse para pang... Nakakatawin na mga text eh. Pastor, bigyan akong Bible verse para mapakita natin na mali sila. Eh, teka muna. Hindi po yun ang gusto natin. Iba sabi niyo, defending the faith? Hindi. Huwag tayo maghanap ng away because we also want them to see how the gospel is working sa life po natin. You may win the argument, but you might lose the person. Huwag po tayo makipag-away. Bagamat darating ang panahon na kailangan po natin mag-contend sa gospel, kailangan natin depensahan. But huwag po natin hanapin. Okay? Now, how do we preserve the gospel dito sa Crossroads? Paano? I'll give you 9 ways. Number 1. Mabilis lang po ito. Portray the gospel. Portray the gospel. Kasi ganito po yan eh, God intends for the watching world to look at the church. Yung church o yung local church, God has intended, dinisign ng Panginoon niya para i-display yung glory niya sa mundo. So in short, friends, the world is watching Crossroads Church of Dubai as much as he's watching United Christian Church of Dubai or Covenant Hope or Redeemer. We are to be displaying the glory of God and the world is watching. What is the difference? Okay? Mga kaibigan, ang dahilan kung bakit hindi tayo nagmamadali gumawa ng programa, hindi tayo nagmamadali gumawa ng maraming aktibidades dito sa church, or dagdagan ng maraming ministry, o kailangan may creative ministry. Ang dahilan po kung bakit nag-iingat tayo sa mga ating tinuturo, or ina-emphasize what to preach, how to counsel each other, what to put in membership classes. Bakit po? Because we are thinking about the gospel. Hindi ho basa, magkaroon tayo kasi yung malalaking church, ito ginagawa, yun din ang gagawin natin. At teka muna, hindi ho. Kung hindi nakalain sa gospel yan, hindi natin gagawin yan. So that's why we're slow. And somewhat probably you find it boring, but this is very intentional. Everything we do is tied, hopefully tied, to the gospel. Second, believe the gospel. Believe. Ito po ang katotohanan, hindi lahat umaattend ng Crossroads ay Kristiyano. And we like that. We hope there is none, may mga hindi Kristiyano rito so that they would hear the gospel at iligtas sila ng Panginoon. That is our prayer. That is why there is church membership class. May mga membership interviews galing sa mga pastors. May ganong process in order for us to make the gospel clear sa gusto maging part ng Crossroads. So if you're here today, and if you want to know more about your philosophy, theology, and programs and Crossroads, mamaya pong 3:30, nandyan po sa Mother's Room, meron po kaming membership class part 2. Eh, Pastor, hindi ako nakatid ng part 1. Okay lang po yan. Attending this class does not guarantee na magiging membership ka, nor we will be forcing you to be members. Ang gusto lang namin is you would know what we believe and hopefully mas maging clear ang gospel. And, best part, that's the time you ask questions. Kahit ano itanong nyo kay Brother Eric, kay Pastor Eric, sasagutin niya. Alam niya yan. Basta related sa topic. Third, Unite around the gospel. Unite, unite. Ito yung kanina pa natin pinag-usapin. Unity in the gospel. Family created by the gospel. When we come together on Fridays, we reaffirm our unity around the gospel. Paano natin ina-affirm yan? We pray the gospel. We sing the gospel. We preach the gospel. We read the gospel. We see the gospel through Lord's Supper at saka baptism. Yun yung visual picture ng gospel. Yun ang visual picture prescribed sa gospel at hindi drama. Nothing against that, pero yun lang ang prescribed sa Bible na kailangan natin visual presentation ng gospel. Lord's Supper and baptism. Fourth, preach the gospel. Believe it enough to say it. Say it enough for it to be heard. Walang kalumaan po ang gospel. Ay, narinig na ng anak ko yan. Huwag natin i-assume na ang tao ay Kristiyano just because sinabi nila Kristiyano. Huwag natin i-assume na alam na niya yung gospel dahil narinig niya na yung gospel. You will never know how the Lord works. When was the last time may conversation, gospel conversation sa pamilya ninyo? Pastor, lumaki. Hindi. Be intentional. Kahit marindi na ho sila sa atin. Of course, do it with love and discernment. Ayaw mo naman ang basta-basta ka nalang mag-aaral ng gospel dyan. But yun ang gusto namin ho ipatuloy dito sa pulpit na to, sa awitan dito, is that we would continue heralding the gospel in hopes that fake Christians would become genuine ones. Fifth, live the gospel. Live, ipamuhay. We are committed to live our lives consistent with the truth of the gospel. More on this next week. Kasi si Peter medyo sumablay ho dito. He preaches the right gospel, pero hindi nakita in one instance sa life niya ang walk the gospel. Six, protect the gospel. The gospel calls us sinners to repent. Hindi po ba? Every time we preach the gospel, it is a call for a sinner to repent. Therefore, Crossroads must be a safe place for confession and repentance of sin. This should not be a place na kung saan natatakot ang tao mag-confess sa kasalanan so that you would be ministered to. If the gospel of Jesus Christ calls sinners to repentance, we pray that Crossroads Church of Dubai would be a safe place for us to confess and seek counsel pag tayo po ay nagkamali. A place of discipleship and accountability. We want our lives to agree with what we claim. Now, sometimes po, you see, kapag isang Kristiyano ay hindi ho nakuha sa discipleship at nagpatuloy sa kasalanan, meron din tinatawag na church discipline. That's one way we protect the gospel dito sa church. Church discipline. Kapag ang accountability does not lead to repentance, ang nagpapatuloy sa kasalanan, it jeopardizes our gospel witness. So what do? We move forward sa church discipline. You will learn more about church discipline sa membership class po. So I encourage you to go. Seven, hopes in the gospel. Not prosperity gospel, but the true gospel. Our best life is yet to come. It is our hope. We are linking arms in this life as we journey together to heaven. In this life, you will face discouragement and loneliness and betrayal and sadness. You need to be reminded of the future grace that is before us and must understand that there is sufficient grace now. Yan po ang ginagawa ng gospel. Eight, shares the gospel. Share. Ang prayer natin is magkaroon ng culture of evangelism and discipleship. Our hopes that we would continue to herald the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you ever planned today to share the gospel to someone na kasama mo sa flat? Or mamaya makakasama mo sa dinner? I urge you, share the gospel. You'll never know. Number nine, grow in the gospel. Grow. The gospel is not only for non-Christians. It's also for Christians. Okay? This gospel is not only a means by isang non-believer ay maligtas, but it's also the power for a believer to be sanctified. Friends, there are so many times that paggabi ako, I feel that I'm losing my sanity. Overwhelmed with excessive concerns and anxieties. Probably that's you as well.
issues sa kids, issues sa spouse, bayarin, pagod sa trabaho, you're being bullied at work, at school, and all of that pagdating ng gabi where your body is physically tired, emotionally you are unstable. And we feel that we're losing our sanity. Here's the beauty about the gospel keeps your sanity. It is through Jesus Christ you know na ikaw ay dadaan lang sa mundo na ito. And that Christ, we have hope. Grow in the gospel. Pagkatapos ni Paul ipaglaban ang ebanghelyo ni Kristo, ano naman ang naging decision ng mga apostles? So nagkaroon na sila ng comparing of notes, pinaliwanag na ni Paul na hindi kailangan circumcised. So anong sinabi ng mga apostles? Did they agree with Paul? Did they disagree with Paul? Kay Barnabas, kay Titus, tagin niyo verse 6. Verse 6. And from those who seem to be influential, ginamit niya ulit, what they were makes no difference to me. Now he's not saying that because out of disrespect. In short, para sa akin, well, he's an apostle, I'm an apostle, great. God shows no partiality. Those I say who seem influential added nothing to me. Parang ang yabang nandating. Ano ba ibig sabihin? Ay, parang wala yung mga yan. Parang wala sila matuturo sa akin. Yung ba ang sinasabi niya rito? Hindi yun ang sinasabi niya rito. Wala sila, in short, ang sinasabi ni Paul sa passage, wala silang dinagdag sa gospel na pinresent ko. They did not add anything, nor did they correct or rebuke me. Tama ang gospel ni Paul. Mali ang gospel ng Judaizers. In short, yun ang sinasabi ng verse ito. Instead, meron silang ginawa na mas maganda. Alam niyo yung ginawa ng mga apostles kay Paul? And that is our third point at saka yung last point natin. Partnership in the gospel. Partnership. Look at verse 7 to 8. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised, for he who worked through Peter for his apostolic ministry to the circumcised work also through me for mine to the Gentiles. Ano siya sabi ni Paul dito? The apostles confirmed the gospel that Paul was preaching the Gentiles for 14 years. In short, siya sabi ni Paul, yung preaching na sinabi mo na 4 years na munang tinuturo, na kung saan na sinasabi mo na nasa Arabia ka for 3 years with Jesus, it's the right gospel. In fact, it reminds us na kami rin mga apostles spent 3 years with Jesus. And then we learned the gospel. So this is yung beauty yung nangyayari rito. So, ang gospel that he preached sa Antioch was the same gospel na pinipreach si Peter at ang mga founding apostles sa Judea, Jerusalem, and Samaria. And because they all believe and share the same gospel of grace, ito ang ginawa ng mga apostles. Verse 9. And when James and Cephas is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship. Right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Ano ang ibig sabihin ng right hand of fellowship? Right hand of fellowship ay isang common idiom na ginagamit ng mga nila ng time na yon. Na ang ibig sabihin is pledging friendship. They are pledging friendship or acknowledging agreement. In short, legit ka. In short, I want to partner with you. That's what's going on. And ikaw sa Gentiles, kami sa mga Jews. Yun ang gagawin. We're now partners in the gospel. This signifies partnership. That is the very thing that Paul wanted to make sure kung bakit siya pumunta rin doon. Ah, praise God. We are really in fellowship kasi iisa ang gospel namin. Inacknowledge nila si Paul and was called to preach to the gospel to the non-Jews and samantala si Peter naman sa mga Jews. Friends, the Lord planted Crossroads Church of Dubai in order to display the glory of God to the watching world. We desire to see more worshipers added dito sa Dubai, sa UAE and beyond. And for us to do that, we must herald the gospel and bring it to places to where the gospel is needed. I'm praying that we would start supporting churches. Tama yan, Pastor. Kailangan ng mga churches sa Pilipinas. That's true. Praise God. But what I'm thinking is supporting churches na hindi Pilipino. Because ang commandment ng Panginoon sa Great Commission is make disciples of all nations. You are here sa Crossroads not because gusto lang natin masaya tayo mga Pilipino, gusto natin magsiksikan dito. No. For several reasons, it's language, but at the same time, growth, and intentionally reach more Filipinos so that they can reach more nations for the Lord. Friends, the Lord wants us to grow in this area. Pray. Start praying. Maybe you know someone na kunsan who's approached you na kunsan humihingi ng gospel support because they will do the gospel ministry. Don't say immediately, no, wala kaming budget. Start praying. Pray for them. If they're advancing the gospel sa ibang bansa o sa Pilipinas and you know this person is my right hand of fellowship then, tamang theology, tamang gospel, then support. Prayer. Give financially. Encouragement. Go with them. Yan pong tanawag ta sinawag sa atin ng Panginoon. We're praying that one day we would support a church na kunsan hindi Filipino yung people group. Okay? Friends, the Lord is doing this. So let's be part of this. The apostle did not add anything sa gospel ni Paul, but reminded him of the poor. Wala nang dinagdag, walang binawas. Ito lang yung instructions nila sa verse 10. Only they ask us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Oh, that's great. Maraming mahilap dyan, tulong tayo. But wait, we have to read this through the context, through the lenses of the context. Sinabi ni Paul dito, yes, yan ang reason kung bakit ako nandito. Who are the poor? Mga taga Judea. Remember, may famine, di ba? The reason why nagbigay ang mga taga Antioch in order to help those that they see na kaparehas nila ng gospel na naghihirap financially, mabless ng Panginoon through them. We have brothers and sisters who are in need. Friends, huwag na natin intayin minsan na sila lumapit kung obvious na yung need. Present help. Seek them. Pray for them. That's why we pray for them regularly every Friday. But do a one-on-one. That's why you have to be intentional in meeting members. We have a directory. Have we become too comfortable na lang sa ating finances and our situation and we missed out in helping a brother and sister in Christ practically? Yun ang instructions ng Holy Kapol. Don't forget the poor, but the Christians na kung saan na naghihirap. The Christians who share your faith. The Christians na kung saan nagtitiwala sa Panginoon. There are brothers and sisters who are here who are trusting the Lord. Would you be the means in order to answer their prayers? Kasi yun ang ating instructions. Friends, we are gospel partners. So I pray that as we continue to meditate itong passage na to sa paghiwa-hiwalay natin, mas lumalim ang pag-unawa natin yung kagandahan ng Ebanghelyo ni Kristo. And yung grace that it comes with it. At mas lumalim yung tunay na fellowship po natin sa bawat isa. The good news of Christ produces true gospel fellowship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the true gospel of Jesus Christ, for saving us through the blood of Christ. As new creatures, as people who are masasabing new creation, I pray, Father, na makita sa aming pamumuhay at sa aming pagkilos na kami nga ay tunay na binago ninyo. Because as a church, our desire is so that the watching world would see and glorify your name. If there are sins in our life that needed to be confessed and repent from, I pray for boldness. I pray for brothers and sisters to walk alongside us. I pray, Father, the gospel witness and church that you would keep it pure. I'm also praying, Father, that there are people that you have placed in our hearts as we hear this sermon na kailangan nila marinig ng gospel in hopes that they would come to repentance and faith. I pray, dear Lord, that you would give us boldness. Boldness to bring the gospel that will give hope. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.